definitely not the first podcast featuring a discussion of pop culture and why we think you should like what we like. You should trust us because we're librarians. I'm Anna, and I...
like to download things off the internet. I'm Aline, and I have been listening to past episodes of Bellwether Friends this week.
That's just weird.
I'll probably talk about it more.
Every couple weeks we're going to get together and talk about stuff. And then we'll end the show with our current obsessions.
It's a total departure from daily life.
Right. We don't talk about things unless we're recording this podcast.
Really?
Then we talk about stuff.
Yep.
Today we have a special guest who we were able to watch movie with in person. Very exciting.
If you move to the state of Massachusetts, you too
can watch movies
with us.
Watch the first two virtually.
Yeah, actually, if you're willing, you can watch movies with us via FaceTime. Today we have our beloved Renata.
Yay!
Hello!
Renata of Worst Bestsellers.
Fame.
We would have had Kate on too, but she doesn't like Wolverine.
Mother of Duarte, of internet fame.
Right.
Recently recording a live episode with Margaret.
Right, that was yesterday.
Was that yesterday?
It was yesterday.
You guys were adorable on the Instagram.
Thank you. Our dream is to get sponsored by ModCloth out of that.
Okay, I saw that. I should retweet that because I support that goal.
I mean, we were all wearing ModCloth. ModCloth, if you're listening to this podcast, which probably you are, don't sponsor this one. Sponsor mine.
we second that endorsement. It's
ModCloth, we have no fashion sense at Bellwether Friends. Please sponsor Worst Bestsellers.
We don't wear cute dresses, mostly. No. Well, one of us does, but it's not this
No, I wear uncute dresses. So, a little bit of housekeeping before we jump into our topic du jour. And that is that the results of our TV bracket poll are in. Drumroll, please.
The winner of the poll, after 61 votes, thank you everyone who participated, was by a narrow margin Crazy Ex-Girlfriend over Agent Carter.
They were neck and neck for most
they
of
were,
the poll.
They
I
were.
Know, the disbelieving gasp from Renata. Is I'm right there with it.
Well, I'll just say, as a listener, I voted for Agent Carter because I do believe in this time, just watching Agent Carter punch Nazis would be so satisfying. But I could see the argument that since Crazy Ex-Girlfriend is still currently, well, it's not the season ended, but it's still like an active show. If you catch up, then you can like talk about it in real time, which has its perks.
I don't understand what that's like, but
right.
Okay.
We tend to wait till something dies and then watch it all at once, but thank you. We look forward to Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. We would like to confess that after we recorded episode 57, The Bracketing, we recorded episode 58 with a very special guest star who you will know about by the time you're listening to this, but who we're not talking about yet. Told us about One Day at a Time, and we started watching it.
Yeah, we did.
She said she was obsessed with One Day at a Time, as you know by now, and had watched it twice through already by herself. So we said, okay, we believe you, we love you, I read a think piece, and we watched 5 episodes?
No, we watched 8 episodes.
We've watched 8 episodes.
So we only have 5 left.
And we are loving it. If you don't know already, One Day at a Time was rejiggered, what is the word, by Netflix.
Rebooted,
thank you.
Thank you.
But also rejiggered.
Yes. So it's a Cuban family living in Los Angeles, and they're still the single mom, they're still the super named Schneider. The grandmother who has moved in to help the single mom care for the kids is Rita Moreno of early EGOT fame.
Yeah.
And she is luminous and beautiful and amazing and wonderful and old, which is cool too. And we are just loving it. I have cried a couple of times. I don't think I've confessed to the crying before now. So there you have it.
I don't think I saw any tears trickling. Down.
No, tears never trickle. Come on. But we're loving it. And we are sorry to have deviated from the bracket voting. And we are also really glad we have done so far because it's great.
We are. I have to play a little bit of the theme song, which is done by Gloria Estefan.
Nice.
our favorite TV pop song. This is it. This is life, the one you get.
Chuckle and have a ball. This is it. This should be my musical episode. I'm stuck in my head. Rest assured, you can't be sure at all. So while you're here, enjoy the view. Keep on doing what you do. Hold on tight, we'll muddle through one day at a time. So up on your feet. I like the interpretation. It's very Gloria.
It also gets the old one stuck in my head because I watched this in syndication in the 70s. It was on in the after school hours. And it's like, one day at a time, da da da, one day at a time.
Sorry, I'm too young for that.
I know. But it was Bonnie Franklin and Mackenzie Phillips was the older daughter who has a cameo in the
new one.
It's mwah, I kiss my fingers at it. I am loving it. So the other housekeeping is we are going to spoil the heck out of today's topic, which we still haven't told you, unless of course you saw the title of the episode when it downloaded,
in which case you already know. Plus,
just put TBD in the subject line.
All episodes from now on will just be TBD. To be discussed, to be delightful.
So I started listening to us.
Yeah.
And we speak in unison an alarming number of times in each episode.
Wait, are you guys clones?
We're not clones. If someone cloned us, they did a really weird job.
I mean, Laura is a clone of Logan, so...
Yeah, I don't understand that.
We're
exactly
gonna talk more about that because
I'll clone explained to you.
About bad cloning because just like if Anna and I were clones, there would be the whole she's tall and I'm not, and she's blonde and I'm not, and she's young and I'm not.
Also you lived in New York and I didn't.
And I'm from Seattle and you're not. Okay.
That's not genetic though.
Are you sure?
Yeah, how can you tell?
I'm pretty sure.
So we have Renata here today because she is the internationally known Wolverine expert.
Also, I'm going to just clink my ice cubes up front so that you know that I am clinking ice cubes during the show and Anna doesn't have to try to remove them later.
Okay, great. It'll be like the cat bell jingling, only slightly more subtle.
That was the other thing. Apart from speaking in unison in our old episodes, the cat collar bells jingle constantly. Through the entire episode. I don't know what they're doing. You would think we were sitting here just shaking a cat by the microphone.
Don't give away our secrets. It's called ambiance. I have actually a cat jingling track that I just put in once in a while.
I was going to say, this is before you got the soundboard, so you had to just shake the cat.
You're right.
But now we have a soundboard, which is why it makes it easier to introduce our topic.
The first time you played that sound effect, by the way, I was legit scared. I was like, did they just get murdered on the other end of the Skype call? Like, what do I do? But then I was like, oh no, they got that soundboard app. I'm sure it's fine.
It's okay. We are okay. We have not been impaled on beautiful extendable claws.
Our house is double locked right now. We are safe and warm.
Also, why would Logan even care about us one way or another?
Well, I didn't think it was Logan. I thought it was somebody else with a sword.
Oh, okay. Well, we have swords here to defend ourselves with.
Oh, great. Okay, I'll stop worrying.
Mad that he's not one of our boyfriends.
Right, right. He's well, he would have to petition to be...
See, I would sign him through. You would possibly resist.
Well, are we talking about Logan or are we talking about Hugh Jackman?
Solid question.
Mm-hmm. Well, is it Ryan Reynolds who is our boyfriend, or is it Deadpool?
Why do you have to ask these things?
Right? It's very confusing. And is it Mahershala who is our boyfriend?
Yeah, I think it is.
Or is it Juan?
I like Juan, but I think Mahershala is our boyfriend. But yeah, we should ask them. We've gotten way off track.
Anna told me we only had two boyfriends, and I think we might have more than two boyfriends, but we will need to get back to that. Maybe we'll have a topic.
I don't think we should talk about men that much.
Do a boyfriend bracket.
Oh my goodness. I'm making a note.
Making a note. Boyfriend making a bracket. Note. Thank you. A friend, not friend, a friend of a friend, a friend of my college roommate
oh boy.
Used to run a website called Boyfriend of the Week. And she would tell you why. She would go through all of these gentlemen and tell you why they were her boyfriend of the week. And it was really good. I think it would be a good place for us to mine for boyfriends. Were we looking for
it's
boyfriends?
It's going to be like a bracket of six or something, because I'm going to veto most of them on the basis that they're men.
Right. If you have any ladies who could be our boyfriends, we'd be into that.
Yeah, that would be better.
Okay.
So our topic today is Wolverine, specifically the now three, the trilogy of Wolverine movies. And we're going to turn it over to our expert to even tell us the names of the first one and second one, because we can't get them straight.
It's extremely straightforward. I don't know why you're confused. The first one is X-Men Origins : Wolverine, but also referred to as Wolverine Origins because that seems easier. The second one is just called The Wolverine.
I couldn't remember if there was a the.
It's definitely a the.
Okay.
It's The Wolverine. And the third one is just Logan. So, like, each time they subtracted a word.
Okay. Well, actually, they subtracted a lot of words after the first one. Like, we don't need all these words.
X-Men
we don't
Origins,
need...
: Wolverine, that's three. Then The Wolverine, that's two. And then Logan, that's one.
Fine, they subtracted a colon.
I love mathematical equations applied to movie titles. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And that's the main difference between those three movies.
Just math?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you give us a brief overview of the first movie? If you were selling it to a patron at the library.
I would never do that. I would never recommend Wolverine Origins in good conscience, because it is like a train wreck garbage movie that a lot of comics fans really hate, and I get why. Because it really takes a lot of, like, beloved comics characters, like Deadpool, like Gambit. It takes these characters and just, like, throws them into the garbage. And I don't care because I love it.
I was going to say, and yet you told us that you'd seen the movie so many times.
I've seen it so many times. And I was thinking about it, and I think partly why is just that I accidentally Stockholm syndromed myself with it. Because the first time I saw it, I was totally like, oh, that was stupid, it didn't even make sense, and then this is a safe space to me, so I'm gonna go ahead and confess that I was like, well, I'm just gonna write, like, a fan fiction to fix this movie.
Oh, good.
And then I was like, no, I gotta watch the movie again so I can, like, have my notes, and then I watched it, like, I don't know, like 20 times while I was writing this fan fiction, which is, like, 50,000 words long, because that's what it takes to fix that movie. This is a big chunk of my life during grad school.
Understandable.
I think that this was a very, very good use of your grad school energies. I can just say, can we read this?
I'll tell you, I don't want it to be linked to publicly. But I'll give it to you guys, and if anyone listening wants this, you can tweet at me and I'll send you the link, but it's got to be two-way. Like, you have to admit that you want to read it, and then I'll give it to you. But I don't want to make this so easy for you.
I thought that it would be that you would make me tell you where my fanfic is hiding.
Oh, I mean, we can talk about this later.
Okay, we will be going offline to talk about fanfic confessions among Helga Grace and Renata.
What about your fanfic, Ellie?
It's all in my head. Fortunately, I've not committed any of it to machine or paper. Did we say that we watched these movies together on FaceTime on President's Day? Because we know that our founding fathers would have wanted it to be that way.
Right.
Absolutely.
And we watched X-Men Origins : Wolverine, X-Men Origins : Wolverine with Renata at, it was 10 in the morning. We ate breakfast.
We had snacks.
And we had snacks and we watched this movie. Why was it a train wreck? What was it? What about it was so train wrecky, and what about it was relevant to our lives?
Oh, okay. So the main thing I think that's relevant is how good Hugh Jackman's hair is in it. It's just like a glossy, beautiful pelt, and it's so beautiful, this hair. So that's the main thing.
We'll put a GIF in the show notes.
You may want to.
Please do. So as the title suggests is supposed to be an origin story for Wolverine. And it shows that he and Sabretooth were half brothers as children and as adults, I guess. it starts with them as children. And this is not canonical to comics originally. They were not meant to be brothers, but it's fine. I don't care. That's not the kind of thing that bothers me as a comics fan, per se, if they're like, ah, sure, they're brothers for this movie. Like, it kind of makes sense. They have, like, the same power of healing and claws. Sure, they're brothers. I don't care. So, they're brothers.
They're both hairy.
Mm-hmm. It adds up. They're brothers. There's, to be honest, like, there's some kind of fight, I think, because of them being half-brothers. I think there was an affair. I think some, like, one of the dads killed the other dad or something. I've seen this movie so many times, I still don't know, because it happens so quickly and it doesn't really matter. But there's, like, a traumatic event when they're children, and then the two of them run off, and they're, like, bros for life together, and then cut to the opening credits, which is just a montage of them being army bros, and, like...
Like, over the course of 100 years.
Yeah, the Civil War, World War II... What?
All before the opening credits.
Yeah. And, like, through the credits. Yeah, so it's, like, every war happens, then they get to Vietnam, and then it stops being credits, and it's back to the movie. And they're just, I mean, like, Vietnam is grim. They're up to some, like, grim Vietnam business. And then Victor, a.k.a. Sabretooth, is about to rape a village lady. And Logan's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, we're murder bros, but we're not rape bros, so you need to knock that off. And then they're fighting, and then they get captured by... I think they're in U.S. military jail, and then I forget his rank at this point in the movie, but William Stryker, who's a military dude, comes to get them because they had been executed, but they'd survived because they can do that. So he's like, oh, I heard you didn't get executed. What's up? Do you want to come, like, be on my team? And they're like, I guess so. And so they got to be on his, like, secret X team, which is them. It's Ryan Reynolds, who is playing Deadpool, but not yet Deadpool. Because this is also, like, a wild, weird origin story for Deadpool in a way. So at this point in time, Ryan Reynolds, I think just his power is that he's good at swords.
Yes, that's what it seemed like to me. But we were just glad to see him, so we didn't care.
Yeah, so his power is swords. Will.i.am is in this movie. Will.i.am's character, I already forgot. Oh, it's Wraith. His name is Wraith. He can kind of teleport in shadows. There's a character named Zero who's a really good sharpshooter. Charlie from Lost is in it as a made-up character who seems to be able to control light bulbs.
And the Fred Blob.
Dukes. Yeah, Fred Dukes, a.k.a. the Blob, is in it. But he's not really the Blob yet. He's, like, regular size person.
We took care of the Blob yesterday at the arcade when we were playing the X-Men video game.
We did play through the X-Men video game. So we haven't talked about who's hotter, Sabretooth or Wolverine.
It's Wolverine.
Wolverine.
But Sabretooth has these teeth.
It's Wolverine.
I will say, in previous movies, Sabretooth is played by a wrestler whose name is, I want to say it's Taylor Mayne, but I might be thinking of Taylor Dane. It's Taylor something. My heart. He's, like, a pro wrestler. He's, like, real, like...
He's really big, yeah.
And then in this, he's Liev Schreiber.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a bewildering casting. But also, I'm into it.
I'm totally into it.
He sells it. And he and Hugh Jackman could be theoretical half-brothers.
Or lovers.
Or something.
Their relationship is extremely sexually charged for them being brothers. And it's really weird. There's a lot of, like, grabbing each other and, like, gazing at each other and, like...
Stabbing pointy things into each other.
Yeah, a lot of penetration. It's pretty erotic, you guys. Anyway, so they join Stryker's, like, murder force. And William Stryker, if you've read X-Men comics, you're like, oh, I knew this guy. He is up to no good. And sure enough, he's not. And so they go on this mission to... I think it just says Africa. I don't think they put that much work into it. They go to Africa, and they're trying to get this metal that we know is adamantium, the stuff that goes on Wolverine's bones. But they don't even really know why they're there, and they're about to, like, kill some villagers to find out some info, and Logan's like, no, I'm done. I've, like, this is my last straw of...
120 years later, after killing people indiscriminately, I've had enough.
Yes. Like, he just is done. And so he, like, literally just walks away, although they're in question mark Africa, and I don't really know how he's supposed to get home from there, but he did. And Victor, aka Sabretooth, is super betrayed because they're best bros slash lovers. He's like, I can't believe you do that. And then we flash forward, like, 8 years later. Logan is working as a lumberjack in Canada.
Of course he is. What else would he be doing?
I mean, those are, like, his two skill sets, is murder and tree cutting. That's it.
He could even cut trees with his claws if he wanted.
Yes.
Not when they're bone, I suppose.
Right, once he gets the metal, yeah. So he, there's a beautiful shot. He's in this cabin in the top of a mountain. He walks out, just like strolls out of the cabin, shirtless, just like appreciates the fresh mountain air. And then his girlfriend comes out and he's like, hey. And we learn like he's got a girlfriend, he's a lumberjack, he's got this peaceful life that he seems really into. She tells him a stupid folk tale that's clearly about a wolf who howls at the moon, but she says it's about a wolverine, and so he remembers that folk tale.
Later.
Yes. And then her name is Kayla Silverfox, who again is a comics character that is really mangled here. It doesn't really matter. But that's her name. And then Wolverine's off being a lumberjack, and Stryker shows up, and he's like, hey, I need you to come back. And Logan's like, no, I like being a lumberjack. And Stryker's like, okay, bye. And then the next day, Kayla gets murdered by Sabretooth.
Yeah. He went around murdering a lot of people, it seems.
Oh, yeah. I think we skipped over some scenes where he killed Charlie from Lost, and we watched, and it was sort of pointless for us to see that.
Okay.
Yeah.
That doesn't matter, really.
Yeah, like, this is not a real character, and now he's gone. Okay, bye. But anyway, so now Kayla's murdered, and Stryker comes back, and he's like, oh, I was trying to tell you that, like, bad stuff was happening. And Wolverine's like, all my girlfriends die. It's the worst. And so then he goes and joins up with Stryker, because Stryker's like, somebody's going around and killing all the old members of our team, and I need you to help figure it out. And so Wolverine's like, fine. He's off being, like, mutant Nancy Drew to figure it out. And in the course of this, he fights a Sabretooth. He goes to New Orleans to meet Gambit, which is my favorite part. And also, it's trash. Taylor Kitsch, aka Tim Riggins from Friday Night Lights, who is, I mean, I love him and I love that character. He's not great at the Cajun accent that he's going for.
I have trouble imagining who is going to be great at it.
Channing Tatum.
Okay, great.
In the Channing Tatum Gambit movie. Then I made happen with the secret. So they have a fight that makes no sense, because pretty clearly on it's clear that they're on the same side, because Sabretooth is also there, and they're like, oh, we're both mad at Sabretooth. But then they also still fight each other because, like, they had all the special effects lined up already or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I was like, why are they fighting each other? Why are they fighting each other? And
it's real dumb.
No one answered me.
But then Gambit and Wolverine make up, and Gambit takes his little plane and flies Wolverine to the island where Stryker is taking mutants to experiment on them, which is Three Mile Island, site of the nuclear reactor thing. So he gets there, he finds out that his girlfriend Kayla is actually secretly alive, and she had faked her own death because Stryker has her sister, who was Emma Frost, who is a totally different character, and it makes no sense for them to be sisters, but sure. Her sister Emma Frost is there, and so Stryker was basically blackmailing her to get her in on this scheme. Oh, shit, I forgot the part in the middle. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm swearing on your podcast.
It's all right.
It's totally fine, but I wanted to just sort of interject as a complete novice comics person, not a reader, but an enthusiast for most of the comic movies, and I don't really care what universe they're from. I like comics made into movies because that's a format that I'm into. I'm really glad that it kind of doesn't make any sense to someone who knows what's supposed to be going on, because it sure as heck makes no sense to me walking into a theater and sitting down and trying to, like, figure out what is happening.
Yeah, knowledge of comics is not going to help you here.
Thank
but
you.
But I forgot the part before he goes to New Orleans, which I jumped to, obviously, because it's my favorite part. Before that, Stryker's like, oh, well, if you're going to fight Sabretooth for killing your girlfriend, you're going to need my help first. I'm going to need to cover your bones in adamantium.
Oh, right.
And so he's like, oh, fine. And so he goes off and he's like nude in this tank of water and they inject like boiling metal into his bones and he's like screaming. And the nurse is like, oh, why didn't you give him some anesthetic? And Stryker's like, oh, it wouldn't work because of his mutant powers. He needed to agree to this. He needed to like consent to it, which is, it turns out that's why he needed this whole elaborate blackmail scheme because he wanted to get the adamantium on his bones. Oh, and then he wanted to wipe his memories. You know, he's like, oh, you don't remember anything? You're my bro and you're going to do my stuff. And that was like his plan. But Wolverine heard that because he's got super strong hearing also. And so he busts out of there like a Kool-Aid man. He's like out of there and he jumps. He's naked. He runs out of this facility, which is hidden behind a waterfall, like a Legend of Zelda temple. And he runs out and he like jumps down the waterfall and like just drifts away on the river and they can't get him.
Like a fugitive.
It's fantastic.
It really is.
Anyway. Oh, and then he goes, then he's like naked and confused and he ends up at this old couple's
naked
farm.
Okay, so this is the part that got me the most. I was like, that old couple that's taken him in and given him clothes and a nice leather jacket, etc. They're going to end up dead.
But wait, did we know at this point that everyone was going to end up dead? Was the Silver Fox lady dying the harbinger, or did we just know because we saw it before? Also, this is the only thing that I ever remember from this movie is the injecting the metal into his veins when he's in the pool of water naked. I don't know what that says about me, but there you go.
Yeah, I mean, that scene is also great. Anyway, Stryker sends Zero, that sharpshooter guy, and he kills the couple, but Wolverine gets away again and goes to New Orleans and does all that stuff I said before. Then back at Three Mile Island, Kayla's like, okay, I'm done being blackmailed. I'll help you now. And then they free all the mutants that were being held captive. And Professor X shows up with his helicopter and he's like, I'll take all these guys to safety. And it's like, wait a minute. If you knew this was happening all along, why did you just show up now? Like, no one called you. He's just there at exactly the right time. Like, okay. Rude.
Very rude.
Anyway. So, like, all the baby mutants, including baby Scott Summers, who was previously introduced in the movie, they all get rescued. Wolverine and Sabretooth have to team up against Ryan Reynolds, who has become Deadpool-esque, because the premise is that Stryker was, like, harvesting mutant powers from all the mutants he captured and then put them all into Ryan Reynolds. So he has, like, Wolverine's healing factor, and he has, like, Cyclops' eye beams, and he has Wraith's teleporting. And
which he doesn't have in Deadpool. So
right. Like, in the comics, he does not have that ability. But, sure. So he has all that stuff, and he's sort of been brainwashed in what Stryker was trying to do to Wolverine, but Wolverine ran out of a waterfall instead. They did it successfully to Deadpool, so he is fighting them just because he's been ordered to, basically. So they fight and completely destroy a nuclear reactor in the process of it, which I guess is, we're led to believe that's what caused the Three Mile Island disaster, which is one of my favorite parts of this movie.
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So they defeat Deadpool. They destroy the nuclear reactor. Stryker shoots Wolverine in the head with an adamantium bullet, which doesn't kill him, but it does erase his memory, so he immediately forgot the whole movie.
Wait. The adamantium bullet does not kill Wolverine in X-Men Origins : Wolverine. Please note, listeners. Carry on.
Yeah, he heals. It just wipes his memory. Kayla dies because all of Wolverine's girlfriends die.
Yeah.
He leaves. Gambit's like, hey, are you coming with me? And Logan's like, I don't remember you. Leave me alone. And Gambit's like, okay, bye, I guess. Which is, like, not that cool of a bro move, but whatever. So he somehow makes it off this island, despite the fact that he has no memory of literally anything. And so he leaves, and that's the end of the movie. And then the after credit scene is Deadpool's, like, hand crawling out of the rubble. Like, oh, he's gonna put himself back together from this somehow. Woo. So if you're confused, that's fine. It's real confusing and stupid, but also, like, sort of just, like, enjoyable. Like, there's a lot of, like, dumb action scenes that are, like, pretty fun.
I agree.
It's just like scene by scene, it's like that was pretty fun, except for like the dead people.
The body count was not super high. Like several of the people who were supposed to have been dead were not dead anyway.
That's true. That's true.
And I felt bad for the farmer couple.
Yeah.
But they were probably the only people that got killed that I was like, aw.
I don't understand why there are so many civilian bystander casualties in these superhero movies.
To give the superhero like a need for revenge.
But the superheroes don't care about these innocent civilian bystanders.
Logan cared about the old couple.
Did he?
Yes.
Yes.
I thought he was only motivated by the death of his
ladies.
Well, that was what set it into motion, but then he was like extra mad.
Oh, okay, he was extra mad. I get it now.
Yelling at truck non-swearing variety.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got
yeah.
it.
Okay. So that's that movie. Then the Wolverine, I feel like, okay, so like my deal as a connoisseur of entertainment is that I like things that are very bad or like very good, but I would rather watch something that's terrible than something that's kind of mediocre.
Yes.
Like, it's more interesting to me if it's very bad.
So what are you saying about the Wolverine?
I'm saying Wolverine Origins is very bad, and I love it.
Yes.
And the Wolverine, I think, is kind of mediocre, and it's kind of boring to me.
Okay.
Like, I think it's a technically better film, but it's more boring.
I have to agree with that.
Like, the opening of it is probably the best part.
Well, remind me of, like, the main... So just like in the first one, the main vision is him getting the adamantium injected into his naked body. Mm-hmm. What is the overarching symbol of the Wolverine?
Great question. I mean, so in the comics, like, Wolverine's trips to Japan are, like, sort of fan favorites for many fans. Not me. They're kind of racist and kind of dumb overall in the comics, usually. But this woman that he meets, Mariko, is, like, his, like, truest dead love of the comics. And spoilers. Actually, she doesn't die in the movie.
She does not die in the movie.
She dies in the comics. She dies in the comics hella hard. Anyway, so that's good, I guess.
Thanks, movie universe. So he has to go to Japan because of...
Wait, I gotta start with my favorite thing. Okay. Which is, this posits, it seems to take place after the third X-Men movie, and he keeps having visions of dead Jean Grey as, like, a ghost who's kind of haunting him.
Right.
But he is living by himself in a cave in the woods. Just, like, literally a stone cave. And he has, like, a pile of liquor bottles in his cave and a clock radio. And that is it. And it's, like, so pathetic, and I'm obsessed with it.
Which you call his sadness cave.
His hashtag sadness cave. And so I like to... You know, if I'm feeling down, I'll be like, oh, I'm going to my sadness cave, which for me is actually just like my bed with a blanket. But for him, it is a stone cold cave. And that is so dramatic. And I love it.
Yeah. If that was the only part of this movie, we would be fine.
On board.
I would watch 2 hours of just him in this cave for sure.
Wait. We have to establish, how is his hair in this movie?
It's okay, but not great. And when he's in a cave, it's bad. He has a bath scene that makes it somewhat better. So he's in his cave, then we get a flashback. Actually, maybe it starts with flashback. I think it starts cave, then flashback. Anyway, we see that in World War II, Logan was prisoner of war.
Isn't it the bunker before the credits?
Yeah, I think so. But it doesn't... I don't think it matters.
Or, like, we see it without context, maybe, and then return to the image.
Okay.
Anyway, two things happen early on. He lives in a cave, and we see that in World War II... He was in Japan when the first atomic bomb was dropped. He was in the bottom of a well, and this Japanese soldier was like, oh, they're going to drop a bomb, you should get out of the well. And Logan, like, for some reason, understands nuclear weapons.
In Japanese.
Yeah. Well, no, he knew Japanese because he does.
He just does.
He does. Anyway, so he's like, no, man, you got to get in this well to be safe. And then he, like, shields this bro with his body to protect him from the radiation. And so that guy is totally fine, apparently. Wolverine is gross and melty, but he gets better because he does that. And then it's like, okay, bye. Back to the cave future times. And then this is symbolic. There's some hunter bros in the woods, and they shoot a bear and leave it. Is it a bear?
Yeah, it is a bear, yeah.
Yeah, and they leave it wounded, And Wolverine is mad, and he finishes off the bear because it's, like, suffering. And then he goes into the bar, and he, like, wants to pick a fight with those bros for hurting the bear. And then, meanwhile, this lady, Yukio, comes up, and she's like, oh, hey, you gotta come to Japan with me. And he's like, no, I don't want to. I just want to, like, be in my sadness cave forever. And she's like, well, that guy that you saved in a well is dying, and, like, it's his last wish that you come talk to him. And Wolverine's like, but my cave! And she's like, also, I have the power to predict deaths, and those bros are all gonna die in a car accident.
So it's cool.
So it's cool. And he's like, ugh, fine. And then he goes to Japan with her. What's her last name?
Oh, it's all over the family business. But the basic point is that the old guy doesn't want to die, so he wants Wolverine to give up his power.
Yeah, he's like, hey, buddy, like, I know you're real sad. I heard you're living in a cave.
You're ready to go.
I'm dying. I don't want to die. And I've got this, I have this huge tech company, Yoshida. Their last name is Yoshida. His name, is he Shinjin or is it, it doesn't matter. I don't care. The old man is like, hey, I want your mutant power so I can live forever. Because I know you, you're like low-key suicidal and you just want to die. Just give him to me. And that'll be cool. And Logan's like, I mean, I got a lot of cave stuff to do. I'm not doing that, though. And so he says no. But then he drinks some weird tea, and it makes him sick. But he doesn't really, like, get it.
Watch out for the weird tea.
Because the weird tea was made by this lady who will be revealed to be a mutant named Viper who has, like, poison powers or whatever. So she makes him sick, and it damages his healing power. And then the old guy dies, and they go to his funeral, and his granddaughter Mariko is there, and she's like, so beautiful. And Logan's like, oh my god, so beautiful. And then ninjas attack them at the funeral. He's like, I gotta save this beautiful woman, because that's what I do. And so he tries to save her, but his healing power's not working, so he's, like, bleeding. He's not doing great. But they escape on a bullet train.
Of course, as you do.
As you do. They have a pretty cool fight on top of the bullet train.
They do. It's very James Bond.
Yeah. She's like, hey, I'm engaged to this guy who seems, like, totally fine or whatever. And then my grandfather left me. He made me the CEO of this company as well, but I don't want to be CEO. And I think somebody's probably trying to kill me because, like, they want to be CEO. And Logan's like, I'll help you, even though I'm, like, bleeding all over this train. And I'm not really good at helping you right now. They go to a love motel, which is, like, pretty funny. Because it's themed rooms and they have to be in the Mission to Mars room. That's another one of the good parts of this movie. Like, when he's in cave, when he's in the Mars room.
Right.
They get a veterinarian to sew him up because that's who's around.
There's a guy with a bow and arrow who's wandering around after them.
Yeah. It's basically like this corporate intrigue plot that I don't care about that much or, like, fully understand. People are trying to kill Mariko. It's whatever. They don't do it. Her fiancé is maybe in on it, and Wolverine throws him out a window, but he's okay. But he did get thrown out a window. That happens. They go back to Tokyo or something. They go back to the family's, like, facility or whatever, and they're like, hey, you don't have your healing power anymore, and we're gonna, like, f*** you up. And he's like, no. Oh, and they've built this, like, robot suit. The Silver Samurai is, like, a comics character, and it's sort of a version of that, but it doesn't matter. None of this matters. They have, like, a big fight.
It turns out to be the old guy. Surprise!
Yeah. So he didn't actually die. He, like, sort of turned himself into a robot. But he would be better if he could have Wolverine's powers, but he doesn't yet. They do take the adamantium out of Wolverine somehow. I don't remember. Anyway, but it ends. They defeat him. Mariko gets to be in control of the company. They kind of, like in the comics, those two get married, but then she dies. And so this is just sort of ends with them being like, oh, that was cool, bye. And he leaves with Yukio, who was the girl from the beginning, who was in this a lot, but I didn't mention her that much. And she's kind of like Mariko's best friend slash assistant. And also in the comics, she's like a cool ninja, but she doesn't do that much.
She was pretty cool. I was like, we could have more of her and not the other lady.
She's the one with the red hair.
Yeah, the one with the red hair. Yeah, she's, like, a pretty cool character. Didn't get super much to do in the movie. Anyway, at the end, so she's like, okay, I got the company jet. Like, I'll take you anywhere. Where do you want to go?
Yeah,
and he's
what
like,
the heck?
Well, let's start with up. And then he doesn't tell her. And it's like, that's not how planes work. That's not how any of this works, Wolverine.
It's not how flight plans work.
We did get really mad at that. I remember all of us shouting about that.
This isn't right.
If nothing else, it's like irresponsible fuel usage.
Yeah.
We are nothing if not conscientious around
But he
here.
Does hook up with the lady he's on the run with, which, okay.
Oh, yeah. When they're, yeah. After the mission to Mars room, in the middle, they do hook up.
It's true.
But that, it's not like a big, it's not as big of a deal as it is in the comics.
They aren't then automatically married.
Right.
Well, fine.
Yeah. So
I'm gonna open up the Logan discussion by saying, if we were rewatching all of these, I would say,
God, please no,
that there's a continuum that I would want to rewatch, and I think that the watchability of these is going on a downward trend.
See, I guess I've only seen Logan once at this point, and I have seen the Wolverine. I mean, maybe like 3 times. I definitely haven't seen it as many times as Origins, but I would watch Logan again.
See, I don't think I would.
Okay, but that would be, do you think that would be a factor of your disinclination to ultraviolence? Because you don't like ultraviolence. I am a fan of ultraviolence and slasher movies and horror movies, and I am entertained by someone lopping someone's head off and it's spinning into the ether, spewing blood everywhere. I don't know what this says about me. We can talk about that in another episode.
I did enjoy Deadpool, which I was trying to think to myself, why did I enjoy Deadpool but not this?
And
the difference is that Deadpool was funny.
Yeah, this is not funny.
No.
I don't normally like violence or gore in huge amounts. Like, and to me, superhero movies, it's usually a little more, like, cartoonish. Like, it doesn't bother me as much. Logan, I mean, I could have done with less violence and gore. Like, to me, I liked it in spite of that, not because of that.
Yeah. Except for the part about liking it.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, first of all, like, I know you two had wanted to watch those first two movies to prepare for this one, and, like, the Wolverine didn't even really build off of Origins. Like,
right.
I don't think there's any continuity at all, right? In some cases, they actively contradict each other, so.
Well, and I don't know if exactly standalone is the word to use.
They're propped up alone. I don't know.
So, in Logan, Wolverine is old and sick. And it's in a largely post-mutant era, like
it's 2029.
Right.
I was going to say 2024, but something like that.
And
the car was a 2024 make, and
that's
it was
right.
2029. I was very into
you're
this.
You're right.
And he is trying to get Professor X to a location where his...
He wants to buy a boat. So.
Where his... Yeah, it's kind of like in Romancing the Stone, where all he wants to do is buy a boat. So he can be free.
Yeah.
Only not as funny.
Yeah. So Professor X has a degenerative illness, and it's making him lose control of his mutant psychic powers.
And apparently he killed the rest of the X-Men.
Yes. Accidentally. And he doesn't really remember doing so.
Whoops.
Which is a real bummer.
It's a real bummer. A lot about this movie was a real bummer.
It's true.
Logan Colin, a real bummer.
No, it's too many words.
Right.
Logan, sad emoticon. So Logan is working as, like, a limo driver to raise money. And I don't know why he's not just working as an assassin, because he's, like, way better at that.
Right, anyway, and he can make lots of money being an assassin.
He can make bank. But, you know, he's already had that breaking point of too many civilians killed, like, 7 times. So I guess, whatever. So he's working as a driver, trying to raise money for this task. And a lady comes and she's like, oh, you're Wolverine. I recognize you. I need you to help me. And he's like, nope, bye. And then she comes back and he does help her eventually. And also Professor X is like, oh, there's like a new mutant and we've got to help her. But they think it's kind of like crazy talk and they don't really believe him. But it turns out to be true. And the new mutant is a girl named Laura who was with the woman who is the mom from Orange is the New Black. I forgot her character's name in both cases. She has told Logan that they have to get her to a safe place. There's a safe place for mutants up in Canada, and they have to get her up there, and they need him to drive and, like, protect them.
They keep talking about getting her to North Dakota as though there was some sort of teleport facility in North Dakota that was going to get the kid to Canada.
Well, I think that was where, that was supposed to be the meeting place of where the friends that she had arranged would take her the rest of the way.
Okay. That was sketchy on that one, because it really seemed like she was thinking that North Dakota was enough.
Maybe in the future, North Dakota is part of Canada.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
It does make sense.
We don't know. Brace but I think North that's Dakota. What she meant. That was phase one, was like, that would be the meeting point. Because it kind of was the meeting point. And then anyway, we're getting ahead. That lady gets killed. They take Laura and they go. It turns out, like, Laura is a clone of Logan. Or, like, she has this genetic material.
Really reveals herself. Cloned.
Yes. And we can speak on that more later. But so she, like, f***s up the guys who... I'm sorry, I keep swearing in your pocket.
It's all right.
She murders the guys who... that's not a swear. She murders the guys who attack them with her tiny baby claws. And it's, like, adorable and murder.
I loved that scene when she went bananas and killed everybody.
She's so great. And that child actress is amazing.
She was really good. She was definitely the best part of the movie, for sure.
Yes, for sure she was. So Logan is still, like, real grumpy about the whole situation, because that's, like, his whole deal. He's like, I'm grumpy. I'm Wolverine. And that's the movie. And so Laura and Logan and Professor X are on this road trip, and they stop at an old couple's house. The old couple obviously gets, or is a family. The whole family gets murdered. But it's
poor Eric LaSalle.
Yeah.
Finally getting work again.
It was kind of a sweet scene. I kind of liked it, because Logan's like, we should keep going. It's not safe, because he knows couples get murdered around him.
Yeah.
Every time I stop at a farmhouse, everybody dies.
Every time. But Charles insists that they stop, and it's, like, really sweet, because he wanted Laura and he wanted Logan to be reminded that there's, like, good families and there's, like, good things.
Yeah, but now even they're dead.
It's true. It's not so great. But I thought it was, like, a sweet idea.
It was very sweet.
And they had, like, a sweet interaction. And so, like, Laura's very traumatized, and she doesn't really talk at all for most of the movie, which we talked about how this movie fails the Bechdel test, but it would have passed if Laura weren't, like, so traumatized that she couldn't talk for most of this movie.
Hmm.
It's because she's having very expressive eye conversations with the mom.
Okay.
So, anyway. Who did have a name, even though I cannot remember it. They move on. They go to Las Vegas. Professor X has another...
I think it was actually Oklahoma
You're right.
City, yeah.
Again, no, and I was very confused by that, because they're in a casino, and it seemed like it was Las Vegas, but it was, yeah, Oklahoma City. Because Las Vegas is not on the way. Anyway, Professor has another freak out and, like, injures some people with his brain powers. Like, I don't know, they're getting, like, nosebleeds and stuff. I don't know.
The X-Files up in there.
Yeah. They're getting that, but they get out of there. They escape. Logan realizes that the coordinates where they're supposed to meet the people is something that that Laura's guardian had gotten out of an X-Men comic. And so I love this, because X-Men comics exist in this world, but Logan's like, they're mostly made up. Like, we didn't really do most of the stuff. And that's just, like, a made up number. They made up for the story. There's, like, nothing at that coordinate. And he's really mad.
He's super grumpy.
Yeah. Which... kind of
understandable,
fair.
Yeah.
Kind
he's
of fair.
Mad,
it's not a real
and his
play.
Hair is not very good.
No, his hair is
and
terrible.
He's sick, and he's limping, and at one point he has to push one of his claws. No, he has to pull one of his claws the rest of the way out.
Oh my
manually.
God!
It was there. You know, this whole decrepit Wolverine thing was not working for me. Hugh, we might have to, like, take you off the boyfriend list.
Yeah, I remember, like, early on in the filming of this, there was some kind of, like, paparazzi photo, and they hadn't really released the plot or anything, and they're just like, oh my gosh, Hugh Jackman looks terrible. Like, is he sick? What is this? But it was just, like, the movie did that to him. Oh, I forgot, also, at the farmhouse, there's, like, a grown-up clone of Wolverine who fights them and gets away.
Right.
Who we totally thought was Sabretooth for, like, a flash moment, because we were hoping.
Against hope.
Also, good Wolverine wears a white tank top and bad Wolverine wears a black tank top,
right.
so you can tell.
You can tell them apart.
Thank God.
It makes it easier.
Yeah. Logan realizes it's, like, not real coordinates. He's like, this is hopeless. Why are we even going there? And Laura's like, no, we have to go. My friends will be there. And she starts talking. And I love it, because she speaks Spanish, and she just, like, yells at him in Spanish, and it's really cute.
It is adorable, yes.
he's like, you could talk all this time. And she's like, well, you wouldn't have listened to me anyway. And like, I love her and she's great. Also, she at some point robs a convenience store and steals like pink sunglasses. And it's so cute. I love her.
I just wanted them to be on a road trip with Professor X and then buy a boat and be fine somewhere.
Listen, that's what the fan fiction is for.
I know.
It's for that. Because I also want that. Also, there's some comics that are basically that.
Okay, good. You can recommend some to us.
I for sure will do that. Oh, also, I didn't totally understand the plot. There's like a shadowy government agency that was responsible for cloning all these mutant babies and trying to make them into weapons, but they didn't want to. And this is another thing that I thought was good, actually, too, is, like, Laura's mom isn't actually her mom. She was a nurse at that facility who, like, took Laura and, like, busted out. And, like, all the kids, I think, busted out because they wanted to end the program and kill the kids because they were failed experiments. And the nurses were like, no, they're kids. We're not doing that. And so she had recorded this video of herself that, you know, she wanted to be, like, leaked or whatever. And she was saying, you know, this is illegal in the U.S. They do it in Mexico because they can do it here. And they think that, like, we're too poor and stupid to realize what they're doing. And, like, we are poor, but we're not stupid. And we're not going to kill these kids. And I was like, yeah, nurse, even though I still cannot remember your name. Like, I thought that was another good moment.
It was a good moment. But there's a little bit of, well, they're kids. And there's a little bit of, well, Logan, she's your daughter. And yeah. I was kind of like, well, she might be genetically related to you, but that doesn't mean you have to be like, well, she is my daughter.
Yeah, that's not my favorite.
No, it doesn't work at all.
Not my favorite. But Laura is my favorite.
Laura is my favorite also.
So good. So Laura. Anyway, they go up to those corn. Oh, also, there's something about genetically modified corn. And I think that's partly also
why. X-Files, I'm telling you.
That is what that killed. Isn't that what kept all of the mutants from ever mutinying again?
So that was in an article that you sent me. I did not actually understand that from the film, but that seems fine. I'll buy it.
Okay. We'll link the article that I sent to Renata in the show notes because it's super spoilery and it is for all of the people who are like, actually, this is how it really ought to be. I like those intersections of people who know the way it's really supposed to be and can also watch the movie and say, oh, this is happening in this movie.
Yeah. Anyway, they make it to those coordinates that were in the comics, and surprise, their friends are there, because even though it's not a real place, their friends all had the same coordinates and they all went to that same place, and so they made it a thing. Just through believing in it.
There were no other adults there, so apparently all the other kids got there on their own?
They put it on their vision board.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. I don't know. So, they're there. Evil Wolverine and a few, like, some of the other army bros show up, and they have kind of, like, a last stand battle. Oh, I forgot also. When they're in Oklahoma City in the hotel, they, also, we forgot to say Charles died in the middle there somewhere.
That was sad. Oh,
terrible. It was very sad.
Super, super sad. It's a moment of silence to shed a tear.
Yes. Before he died, he and Laura, and a little bit Logan, but mostly he and Laura, were watching.
Oh, yeah.
I guess it was the movie Shane, which I've never seen before. But, like, you know, it's like a John Wayne-y Western type looking movie, and she is like really captivated by it and like reciting lines back from it, and it's pretty cute.
It is pretty
anyway
cute.
So that happened. Cut back to this last stand-ish battle. Laura knows that Logan's been carrying around this adamantium bullet because he wants to try to kill himself with it, maybe, because he's like low-key pretty
dramatic. Yeah.
So yeah. Kids at home, if you haven't seen Shane and you see it on TCM or you have an opportunity to check it out from the library or something, it's one of those things that has created a lot of pop culture touchstones that you may not realize that you recognize.
Come back, Shane.
Is like a thing. So, yeah.
That makes sense. So, they have this battle. They use that bullet to kill Evil Wolverine.
Who is super hot.
Yeah, he is in better shape. Although, okay, I have been thinking about it, and the thing was that because Wolverine, like, OG Wolverine was so old, his healing factor was starting to wear out.
Right, right.
And that's why, like, he had the limp, he had the cough, because his healing factor just wasn't working so great anymore, which also, this is a thing that happened in the comics as well. Like, the only reason he's able to have the adamantium on his bones is because it's always trying to poison him, because you're not supposed to have metal in your body like that. So it's always trying to poison him, and his healing factor is always, like, fixing it, like, immediately. But since his healing factor is starting to wear out, he's, like, also has, like, blood poisoning all the time from the stuff on his bones.
Which is very depressing.
Yes. So the adamantium bullet kills clone Logan, but Logan has sustained enough injuries that he also dies. But the kids are safe. Like, the last of the army dudes has been killed, and so they can make it to Canada. But first they have a funeral for Logan, and Laura recites some of Shane, and then they make a cross out of sticks and put it on his grave, and then she tilts it over so it's an X instead of a cross, and I legit cried.
Yeah, that was sad.
Gasped, like, hugely gaspy, and yeah, it was like, oh my god.
Yeah, I, like, screamed, and then I, like, laughed at myself for screaming, and because it was, like, a little over the top, but also she nailed it, and then I just, like, cried, and then I was just crying.
I don't like sad or gory movies, so...
And I think another thing that makes this less sad for me is I'm just sort of, like, so used to the comics, where it's like,
oh, he's dead.
They're dead, but are they? Doesn't matter. No, it doesn't matter.
True.
It's like Arrow.
Oh, God.
Yes, it's much like Arrow. Like, it's temporary. Like, he's dead, but he'll get better. Like, even, I mean, Hugh Jackman just said he won't come back to more movies. Fine, but that character, like, lives on. I don't care.
What, did you have anything, Anna, that you wanted to say about Wolverine that you did not say yet? I want to make sure that we get it all off our chests.
Well, I mean, I've always been partial to Wolverine, but my fondness is probably based on the video game, the aforementioned video game, in which I usually played Wolverine to Angie's Nightcrawler.
I always play Colossus in the two times I've played.
Which is good. I appreciate your Colossus assistance. Little G chose Cyclops yesterday.
That's an upstanding choice.
It seemed about up his alley.
Yeah.
And so I have a soft spot for Wolverine, and I know that some think that he's overexposed, but he can never be exposed enough for me.
Right. I agree. On. I am with you on that.
But I do want to read, I put on hold a few of the all new Wolverines so that I can read them.
The best.
And I will report back.
Great. So, I mean, what I liked mainly about this movie was two things. Which is Laura Kinney, who is one of my all-time favorite characters. I love her so much. And I thought, I mean, a lot of things were changed about her origin. But again, I'm not such a stickler for that. I don't care that much. I thought the actress, whose name is Daphne Keene, I thought she, like, really nailed, like, the essence of Laura. Of just, like, this adorable rage monster who also, like, wants to do good. Like,
yeah,
I love
she
her.
Was great. Do you think that they're gonna do more movies with the kids that they set up, or are they just gonna, like, leave that?
I don't know, but I hope so.
Who knows?
The other kids didn't seem to be recognizable characters, so I think they could kind of do whatever they want with them.
Yeah, like, they could have her show up but leave the rest of them. I mean, they were adorable multicultural children.
Yeah. So I love that. And I love that this was sort of a movie about, like, loving comics. And, like, you saw that the kids in the facility, they all had X-Men comics. One of them had, like, a Wolverine doll. And, like, even though, like, Logan's mad because he's like, well, this isn't real. Like, it didn't matter. Because it mattered that, like, it inspired and it meant something to them. And so they made it something. And I thought that that was beautiful.
It was beautiful.
So... Yeah, I mean, it was, like, kind of too long. It was kind of too gory. It was kind of too... I don't fully understand the plot of it. But I'll forgive so much because I did love Laura Kinney and everything about her.
Okay.
She was great. We did not talk about... I mean, you can read a think piece on the fact that she only has two claws in her hands and she has claws in her toes and what that is relating to in reality or whatever. And she is just awesome and cool, and she is scowling through the whole movie, which I can really appreciate. And
yes.
She is, you know, she doesn't talk until she feels like talking, and then she won't shut up. And I just liked her.
Are you relating very heavily to her?
Relating to a small brown girl? I don't know. Could I? Did anybody see my TBT yesterday? Yeah. She was good.
So she was great.
She was great. I am glad that Hugh Jackman came back.
I am looking forward to X-Men : Wolverine squared semicolon Laura.
Okay.
100%.
Or however they choose to punctuate that.
Yeah, I'm for it.
What are the chances?
What's the next X-Men movie? Is it the Gambit one, or is there something else in between?
Deadpool
2.
Know.
There was a Deadpool 2 teaser.
Oh, that was good. But that's not
an
X-Men.
Didn't talk
though.
About that.
You know, I really don't know what's next. I don't know if everything has been so much about hyping Logan that I really have missed if they've even announced what's next or what's going on.
I will check.
Yeah.
I was glad to see Eric LaSalle of ER.
I did also, like, for a movie with two, like, white men at its core, I think this is one of the more diverse X-Men movies, because everyone who wasn't Wolverine or Professor X, except for the evil government guys who are white, obviously.
Right, naturally.
Like, you know, the good, kind farmers are black. All the baby mutants are at least, like, partly Latino. The nurse mom is Latina. I thought that was good.
So, the films in development are not super promising because they've been in development for a while now. The untitled X-Force film.
Oh, right.
In which Deadpool will appear. The untitled Gambit film.
Still on my vision board. I'm concerned because they have not, like, started shooting.
It
and they
says
keep, like...
it will, filming will start in early 2018.
That's a long way away.
With the
I
intent
want it now.
To be the start of a franchise.
Channing Tatum's going to be too old for it if they wait too long.
Untitled The New Mutants film. So it's a film adaptation of the comic book series spinoff. And then Untitled Deadpool sequels. This Wikipedia has Deadpool in this because Colossus and Negasonic Teenage Warhead and so on also appear.
I do like Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
So we can at least, the next Deadpool would then seem to be the logical extension.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I think with a lot of those actors, the baby Jean and baby Scott and so forth, I think they have like 3 movie contracts and they might be kind of up in the air after right. X-Men Apocalypse.
That makes sense. Although I thought that did pretty well in the box office, but who knows? Ghostbusters did pretty well in the box office as well. So.
Right. Have we exhausted our Wolverine thoughts?
I just want to go back and watch X-Men Origins : Wolverine again.
Oh my gosh, same. Let's do it right now. I think there were a lot of reviews about that movie that were like, oh, it's like an amazing like work of cinema, and this is so much better than every superhero movie, and it's like so dark and gritty, and I'm like, you guys need to take it down one notch. Like, Laura was great, this movie was fine. Like, I did enjoy it, although a lot of the things were hindering my enjoyment. But I think, like, there's some people who just, like, the grittier a movie is, the better they think it is. And that's not true.
Not necessarily true. It could have been, there were a lot of moments that could have been trimmed down, probably.
I want that to be your tagline, though, Renata. It's like, as good as it could have been. What was it she just said? I've already lost it.
It's gone.
I don't know.
Dangers of recording at night.
Yeah, we'll come. It is recorded. You can listen to it later.
Point.
Unpack.
I hear you're listening to our old episodes.
Right.
Let us talk about our obsessions. Renata, do you have one for us?
Oh my gosh, I'm obsessed with Laura Kinney, you guys. And I specifically, although she was great in the movie, my love for her is truly from the comics. And I want to shout out 2 comic series. One of them it's just the X-23 series, and the first volume in trades is called The Killing Dream, and it's written by Marjorie Liu, who has also written a lot of my favorite X-Men books, and she's a great writer, and I love her X-23 series. It's her being, like, cool bros with Wolverine, Gambit, and Jubilee, and it's, like, mainly just the 4 of them.
That's a great combination. I just put that on hold.
It's so good. Jubilee.
It's so good. I love it so much. And then you already mentioned the all-new Wolverine comics written by Tom Taylor, which I also love so much. That one's ongoing. That, to me, is just, like, the perfect blend of, like, sort of violent and stabbing, but also, like, so sweet. And there's, like, a crossover with Squirrel Girl where she gets pet Wolverine. And it's just, like, the right blend of, like, whimsy and sort of sweet, but also murder. And It's everything that I want in a comic book.
Me too.
So if you watched Logan and you liked Laura, check out those comics. If you didn't watch Logan, I don't care. Like, still read those comics because they're so good.
Okay. Sold.
So my obsession this time around is a total gear shift from talking about Logan and X-23 and Laura. And it is the book Murder, Magic, and What We Wore by Kelly Jones, which is forthcoming from Knopf on September 19th, 2017. Full disclosure, Kelly Jones is one of my best friends in the world, and I read this book in an early draft many years ago. And if you doubt me, you can check the acknowledgments. Which made me cry when I was reading it. So, Murder, Magic, and What We Wore. I'm going to read the back of it because it's short and it's going to tell you what you need to know, and then I'm going to say something else. The year is 1818, the city is London, and our heroine, 16-year-old Annis Whitworth, has just learned that her father is dead and all his money is missing. And so, of course, she decides to become a spy. Annis always suspected that her father was a spy, so following in his footsteps to unmask his killer makes perfect sense. Alas, it does not make sense to England's current spymasters, not even when Annis reveals that she has the rare magical ability to sew glamours, garments that can disguise their wearer completely. Well, if the spies are too pig-headed to take on a young woman of quality, then Annis will take them on. It is fun and cute and... Sorry about the cat fight. It's humorous. It has a young woman at its center. Possibly the best part for many readers is that many characters from the period, both real and fictional, waltz through its pages, and there's an author's note at the end pointing them out to you in case you don't recognize them or haven't read widely in the magical Regency genre. It is going to be a whole lot of fun. It has a beautiful cover, which I'll put in the show notes, and I look forward to sharing it with all of you. We will also be having Kelly as a guest a few episodes hence. So, prepare yourselves.
If you have some questions, send them our way.
Right, if you've got questions for her. She and I will be talking about clothing.
Yep.
So exciting. I loved her previous book even before I knew that you guys were bros.
Yay!
The ultimate it's about compliment. Magic chickens. Yeah, it's about the X-Men book, of chickens.
It is the X-Men of chickens. Her previous book is called Unusual Chickens for the Exceptional Poultry Farmer, which is a middle grade novel about a young Latina girl who moves from the city to an inherited farm and takes on some magical chickens via...
I just realized that it's like a happy alternate version of Logan.
It really kind of is. There's a farm. There are brown people. There's magic.
With magic superpowers.
Yeah, the chickens have superpowers. And it's a great book. It's a lot of fun. I recommend it to you and your middle grade readers. And we'll have more to say about Murder, Magic, and What We Wore soon.
In Huzzah. April or May. Who knows?
Yep. Anna, do you have an obsession?
Okay, so my obsession is a series of books by Ben Aronovich, who is British, called The Rivers of London. And they are magical police procedural books.
Okay.
With a wry humor.
What?
I know. And the main appeal for me is that the narrator of the books, who is named Cobna Holbrook Smith, is the best narrator for the books. You couldn't imagine anyone else reading them. He's perfect. He has to do a wide range of accents. And he is absolutely perfect. Here's the thing. I thought, maybe I should buy these audiobooks.
Wow.
I know.
Really?
That's yeah. That's my endorsement.
That's a big deal.
I know. In terms of audiobook boyfriends, he's up there with Simon Vance.
What?
I know.
That's high praise, y'all. If you don't know Simon Vance or how we feel about Simon Vance, then yeah.
I started listening to them on the 1st of February, and I just finished the 5th one today, which is...
Halfway through March,
so now I'm out, unless I buy the 6th one, so we'll see what happens. Stay tuned!
Tune in next week.
Musical obsessions. Do you have a musical obsession, Renata?
I sure do. It's Laura Kinney and the sounds that she makes. I'm just kidding. It's weirder than that, even. Maybe it's not weird. I'll get on with it. So I watched the Oscars.
Yes.
Brag. And it reminded me, like, oh yeah, Can't Stop the Feeling is a song that'll get in my head, huh? So I had that song in my head, and I was like, I'll go listen to it on Spotify. And I guess I hadn't actually realized that it was from the Trolls soundtrack, so I ended up on the Trolls soundtrack.
We love the Trolls soundtrack.
The Trolls soundtrack is lit.
It's really good. We already have several songs on the musical obsession.
Oh no, I had to double check.
That's okay.
Do you have the Move Your Feet medley?
No.
No, we
that
don't.
That was gonna be my pick.
Perfect.
Okay. Great.
It's in.
So, I mean, really, I'm obsessed with the whole soundtrack. I've been listening to it all week, but I think that's my favorite one is a medley of Move Your Feet and Dance, and yep. It's a Sunshine Day.
Yep.
Mostly sung by Anna Kendrick, but also the other Trolls characters.
If we try hard and believe in ourselves, we can get all of Trolls and all of Hamilton on the musical obsessions playlist.
Well, I've been listening to the Trolls soundtrack in the car because it can get me pumped up to go to work, and I have a really short commute, so I just listen to the first couple of songs, and I'm really excited. I can't remember which song has the troll saying, hello.
It's the cover of The Sound of Silence, which says, hello, darkness, my old friend.
Hello.
And then the troll says, hello, as if he were darkness.
Oh my gosh, that gets me every time.
And I'm also kind of obsessed with that part.
I spend the rest of the day wondering if there's some way I could say hello in the middle of a reference interview.
You can. Or the beginning. But that might be creepy.
That would be creepy. What's your musical obsession, Anna?
I'm trying to find... my musical obsession is Kesha's Die Young.
Yes! I'm always obsessed with Kesha.
So this came on at the arcade last night. We had my work party, which is usually somewhere around the holidays, but it was in March this year.
Sure, why not?
And it was at the local arcade that we are always trying to convince people to come visit us and go to with us.
Right.
And
They have Tetris Tots there,
Renata. Tetris
they
Tots.
They do?
Yes. Yeah,
they didn't last time we were there, but they do now.
So they're now a thing, sweeping the nation for all of your arcades. And they also played a bunch of songs that we recognized because they have a good playlist or a good person running the playlist or something. But they did play a song that we really enjoyed that neither of us recognized. And so I ran over to the bar right as it was about to end. And I said, do you know what song it is? And the guy behind the bar said, no. And I said, can you find out? And the woman behind the bar said, sure. And she looked at the iPod or whatever it was and told us it was The Sound by The 1975.
Okay.
Which seems like a superfluity
of
initial articles.
Definite articles.
Yeah.
Yes.
As featured on the Wolverine soundtrack.
Exactly. Right. I have to...
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again.
Hello.
Because a vision softly creeping...
On that note...
left its seeds while
I cannot get enough of that.
Well, that's why you've been reading me that way.
Pretty much. Hey, thanks for listening.
You can find us on Twitter at Bellwether Friends. BellwetherFrnds. You can find us on Facebook. We're on Tumblr. If you feel the urge, you can leave us a rating on iTunes. I'm Anna, and you can find me online at Helga Grace, HelgaGrace.
I'm Aline, and you can find me on Twitter at Surly Spice, SurlySpice.
You can find me on Twitter at Renata Snacks, RenataSnacks. You can also find my podcast, The Worst Bestsellers, at worstbestsellers.com. We did an episode about our favorite books of the year, and you can hear me discussing All New Wolverine at length on that episode.
Also, if that's you're not where you mentioned sick of the me unusual talking about Wolverine. Chickens.
Right.
Yes. Both.
And we will be talking to Renata again about Fast and Furious movies.
Yes, I have the best taste in movies, you guys.
In the near future.
Thanks for joining us, Renata. It was great to have you.
Oh, it was great to be here.
We appreciate remotely. It. Our in and out music was provided by Julie Jurgens. You can find her on Twitter at Hi Miss Julie, HIMISSJULIE. Oh no, the song started over, excuse me.